I almost pulled out some old slides because the topic for this morning made me think about some slides for a sermon from December when we started talking about the Bible reading plan that we're doing. We had looked in Nehemiah and used that kind of a Nehemiah chapter 8 as a bit of a model for what we're doing as we are reading through the Bible. That was a time where they were presenting the law and the people were responding to it. And it said that some of the goals for this year was not just to read and not just to study, but taking our lead from the Israelites in Nehemiah, we said that we are looking for discovery and fellowship and prayer and commitment. And among those was the discovery, where they discovered something in the law that they weren't doing. And I said, well, who knows what we will discover as we're going through. Things that either are new, or things we hadn't really thought of, or things we thought of in a new way. And this morning I want to talk about something that I don't know if I'd say discovered. I discovered recently. But it's something that throughout our recent readings has caught my eye as it shows up again and again and again and again. So that's seven of them there. Again and again and again. I brought this up in a Wednesday night class a few weeks ago when I was noticing it. And I don't know, it still keeps coming up. And I thought, well, let's talk about it today. What I've been noticing as we've been going through especially the Old Testament story column that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, going through Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua, that we keep having at several points the renewal of the covenant. I don't know if you caught that as you've been reading through, if that has stood out to you as it has to me. But it seems like at every turn, the people stop and renew the covenant. And I spent a little time trying to figure out what exactly that means and what we can take from that. After all, we have an everlasting covenant now under Christ. And so when I brought it up to the Wednesday class, I was saying, is this something about the nature of the covenant or the nature of the people that they needed to continue to renew this? Because if it's the covenant, then, well, we don't really need to worry about that. If it's the people, then maybe it is something that we can learn from and emulate. And so we talked about some ideas of renewal, and Don pointed out that, another word for renewal that may be relevant in church, at least church history, is revival. And some of these ideas of the people recommitting to what's in the covenant. And as we read in this past week's readings, we finished up the book of Joshua, and we came down to chapter 24. We have perhaps the most famous covenant renewal, at least among them. And we have the familiar words of Joshua in chapter 24 as they have entered into the land. And he tells the people, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." This is starting verse 14 of 24. "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And with this call, the people said, "We will serve the Lord." And even when Joshua says, this isn't to be done lightly, don't do it if you don't mean it, they say, no, we will serve the Lord. And the covenant was renewed for a new time, and the story continues. We'll get into Judges this week. I keep thinking about this idea of renewal, revival, recommitment. And so I thought for this morning, it might serve us well to look at the different types of times that the people renewed the covenant. And maybe we can be informed on how we might do the same, if we need to do the same, and what that might look like. So, spent time looking at a number of these renewals. It's interesting that if you talk to different people and you say the time the covenant was renewed, a lot of these different times come up. I did a Google search for Old Testament covenant renewals. You know, Google's that good shortcut in sermon prep, right? And I didn't find a list, but I found several places saying, here is the time when the covenant was renewed. And several different texts came up. When somebody wants to write up a blog or a lesson about renewal, there's so many different ones that they point to. Says, here's the time. And one type of time when we see this is passing on to the next generation. So we had covenant renewed with Isaac, with Jacob. In Numbers, and I suppose you could say in Deuteronomy, when Moses is done presenting the law to the new generation, they renew the covenant. And so at this time when you're wanting to move the covenant forward to the next generation, it is a time for renewing that. It is a time for saying, let's lay out the promises that God made. Let's evaluate where we stand in relation to those. And let's look at where we're going. Because when we say the covenant being renewed, the covenant is an idea that goes back to Abraham, right? Where made the promises of blessings and a great name and descendants and land and all people will be blessed through you. And so when it's renewed with Isaac, those same statements are made, or very similar ones are made to Isaac as were made to Abraham, about sand on the seashore, stars in the sky, right, with the descendants. Similar language with Jacob. Similar language when Moses is speaking to the next generation, not the generation that came out of Egypt that complained and rebelled and wouldn't go into the land, but this was the generation that would go into the land and said, we need to go, we need to look at the law and we need to renew this covenant. And so maybe as we think about passing it on to the next generations, that's a time where we say, let it be renewed. Another circumstance that we see in the Old Testament where the covenant gets renewed is after times of rebellion, after times of crisis. During the time of Hezekiah or the time of Josiah, They need to, after these times where the nation had gone astray, the nation had turned to other gods, and these great kings called them back to faith, called them back to the practices of what they're supposed to do. When they did things like reestablishing the Passover, when they tore down the altars of the other gods, and called the people to turn back to God, they had a renewal of the covenant. Once that task was done, once they had gotten rid of the other things, once they had taken away the things that were leading them away from God, they said, now that those are out of there, we don't have that roadblock in front of us. They say, now, let's look at where we are supposed to be going. Now that we don't have these things in the way, let's look at where we should be. And so they look at the covenant. They look at the promises. They look at what God has done. One thing that we see in these times of covenant renewal is a recitation of all the things that God has done. Brought us out of Egypt. Defeated great kings. Led them into the land. Provided manna. Those great mighty acts of God are recited. But it's not just something of the past. It says, but now we are the recipients of this covenant and we are called to carry this forward. In the Old Testament, they still had this continued mission of, even when they were in the land, of being the light to the nations, of making sure that God's blessing would be carried on to all people. The restoration in that way. And in these covenant renewals, we see that refocusing on things had been in our way. We had lost sight, but now we see what's before us and what is possible with our God. And while we may not be in, we may not find ourselves in full rebellion against God, we may not have a foreign altar to tear down, there are times that we put things in the way. And that we need to first get those out of the way before we can recognize what God wants to do with us. And once we get those things out of the way, we can have that renewed focus. So we have passing on to a new generation. We have when those obstacles are moved out of the way. And the last type of covenant renewal that I wanted to point out is where we stand here with Joshua. We see covenant renewal at times where, I hesitate to use the word completion, but at the times where they see something achieved, where they see those promises of God fleshed out and see some of that fruit. So in Joshua 24, they renew the covenant once they have settled the land. So all of this time that's leading up to getting into the land and going through the wandering in the wilderness and going through the conquest and deciding who's going to settle where, and then that somewhat bizarre narrative in chapter 22 where a few of the tribes go back and build an altar, which makes the others want to go to war with them because they misunderstand what's going on. Once all that stuff gets settled down and they figure out, they get settled into what God has promised them, they say it's time to renew the covenant. They say it's time to say, we have arrived. Now let's see where we're going. We see this happen again. We see this happen before when they cross the Jordan. They renew the covenant. When the temple is built, they dedicate the temple and renew the covenant. A lot of times when we think of rededicating ourselves to God, we think of it in the low points, where we say, it has gotten so bad, God, I will rededicate myself. God, I will do whatever if you get me out of this. May not use those words, but I think you know the feelings of this has gotten bad, that rock bottom feeling, and I say, God, I am ready to do what you want. But these times that we see with Joshua and with the temple, And I suppose that the time with Moses in Deuteronomy could be seen as one of these as well. It's not, we are at our lowest point, and now we turn to God. It is, we have seen God's blessings. Let's recognize that and see what else we are called to. It's that idea of we have arrived, now let's go. How there's always more that God has in store for us. This covenant that we see in the Old Testament, and some people would say that covenant is the idea of the Old Testament. That one major Old Testament theologian, Walter Eichert, said that covenant is the idea that the whole Old Testament is around, and he may be overstating some, but you definitely see that this is a thread that ties God's people together from Abraham all the way through the end and carries into the time of the New Testament. I mean, think about it. We use Old and New Testament. That's covenantal language, right? This idea that God says, I will be with you. I will bless my people. Is something that is that ties God's people together throughout the times, that offers encouragement. And I think when we see all these renewals, it is the people recognizing that God has not gone anywhere in these times. Whether it's going from one generation to the next, or if it's after having pulled yourself out of rebellion, gotten the roadblocks out of the way, or if it's recognizing the blessings of God, these covenant renewals are saying that these covenant promises and the God who this covenant belongs to is always there and unchanged. It is we who need to orient ourselves according to that. We need to make sure that we know where we are going, whether as individuals or congregationally or as a universal church. We need to know where we are going. And we've been given the map. We've been given, just like Abraham was given the covenant, Moses was given the covenant at Sinai. And the people only had to take the time to look to that covenant, look to that law, and know this is what God intends for us. This is where we're going. And we have the same thing. Our new covenant with Christ. In that covenant, we can be certain that God has a plan for us, and that we can know where to go. We're not always a point in that direction. Sometimes we get off. Sometimes we set up roadblocks. Sometimes we aren't always recognizing that. But in these times of renewal, in these times of rededication, we recenter ourselves. We focus on what we have in the revelation through the Spirit of Christ, of what God has been doing from the beginning and is still doing. We need that sense of renewal. We need that sense of rededication. It may look different to different people. I don't know. As we've said at the very beginning of this year, if we discover something, it may lead to changes. It may lead to recommitment. I don't know if I'm not necessarily calling that we need to schedule a covenant renewal ceremony coming up this year or something like that. But I think we need to take our lead from the faithful people of God throughout time that have said, God has not changed. Covenant has not changed. we need to make sure that we find ourselves where we need to be. So, as we end this morning, but continue this year, continue this journey, let's keep our eyes open. Let's be in conversation. It's not just discovery and commitment. We said this is fellowship and prayer. Let's be in conversation and prayer together about this idea of renewal. And how can we, as individuals, and what can we do as a congregation to follow this lead, to make sure that we are orienting ourselves. So that's where we are this morning. I got nothing else to say. If you have been struggling, if you have been finding yourself putting things in your way between you and where God wants you to go, and you need to ask for prayers for that and offer your and ask for renewal for yourself this morning, let us know about that. If you're in need of baptism, that's not renewal, that is rebirth. Right? If you are in need of that this morning, let us know. If there's anything you need this morning, let us know as we stand and sing.
Ask me not, you'll get to